Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God, and we're going to look at dry bones. Oh, them bones. In Ezekiel 37, they talk about dry bones. And before they start talking about the dry bones, they're talking in Ezekiel 36, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathens. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abomination. We've really screwed up. We've really stepped out of the way of God. Over the last 100 years, 200 years, mankind has been steadily moving away from the ways of God. So much so that most people don't even know the ways of God, and we have thousands and thousands of preachers and ministers and rabbis and monks and ministers teaching something that is not the ways of God. They teach bits and pieces, parts of it, but of course we've talked about this before. The definition of a lie is simply not the whole truth. So to leave out certain aspects of the truth, because they're inconvenient, makes it so that you have no alternative but to live a lie. And that's what we've been doing. And that's why people look on the horizon, people talk about predictions, and of course there's lots of doomsdayers out there that talking about this, that, and the other thing. We know the economy is in an absolute horrible state of debt. And there is a great recompense that will have to be paid because of that debt. When foreigners own this land, own the debt of this land, they will literally have a right to come in and take what they want. And right now we're seeing, you know, for the last 30, 40, 50 years, we've been consuming oil and creating debt in foreign lands and then betraying and overthrowing leaders of those lands who deserve to be overthrown, but meddling in the lives and affairs of those people. Now a whole rape culture has risen up. And that's what you actually see coming out of a lot of these countries in the Middle East. Literally, rape. I mean, if you go to Saudi Arabia, they have women taxicab drivers now. A whole fleet of women taxicab drivers. Now, women weren't even allowed to drive vehicles, but they had to do something because taxicab drivers were raping their women passengers on a regular basis. And you can get away with it in those countries because you got to have like four men eyewitnesses to testify on the behalf of a rape victim if somebody was raped, you know, or it just didn't happen. And even when you finally prove that you were raped, you're still guilty in those countries. That's just the way they've set up the law. I can't imagine why anybody would want to be a Muslim under those conditions. Now, I'm not saying all Muslim people are bad or anything, but there is a whole level of the culture surrounding what is representing itself as the Muslim faith today. And there's all kinds of levels. I mean, to say that someone's a Muslim is like saying someone is a Christian. There are 40,000 denominations of Christianity. And some of the churches are absolutely wacko, crazy, cults. And some are less so. And some are not half bad, not far from the kingdom. But really, I don't really see any denomination. There's only really one denomination. That's the denomination of Christ. Now, who is that? Who is a part of that denomination of Christ? That's God knows. You just have to figure it out. That's what seeking the kingdom is all about. Seeking to know what the righteousness of God really is. So anyway, the point is that you have this huge number of people who are now influxing in Europe, and rapes have gone up. I mean, not just dramatically. There's been a plague of rapes in these countries that have received these Arab or Muslim refugees and been receiving them for a period of time now. And crime rates are going up. Now, that's just not saying all Muslims are that way, but there's an element coming across that is that way. And they're violent, and they're abusive, and they oppress women. I mean, the oppression in that culture of women is staggering. And I've always said for decades now that if you want to oppress a people, first you oppress the women. And then men get to be arrogant and self-absorbed and think they can do anything they want, because they can do anything they want to women. And of course, that's one of the temptations that came in the garden, is that the woman was supposedly this weaker sex that a man could abuse and blame and oppress. And in actuality, they are both equal in strength, but they have different kinds of strength. And so you end up having this rape culture coming up that just, you can read it in the Quran. It's not a secret that your enemies, you get to, you know, kill the men and rape the women. You get to do that. That's okay. I mean, that's what they teach. Now, I'm sure all Muslims don't teach that, but that's basically what's coming down through a large percentage of what is so-called the Muslim faith. But that's just one aspect of what we see rising up, this equal place for evil. And, you know, we have all across the country, you know, if you're a Muslim, you don't have to sell bacon at Target. But if you're a Christian, you still have to sell RU486 at the pharmacy. You know, there's this double standard going around all over the place. I mean, they got special prayer rooms and prayer baths and all this kind of things for Muslims in colleges and universities and public school. But you can't have Christians in there tearing out the Ten Commandments and on, which says you can't go around raping people. You know? So there's a shift taking place, and we see it. And there's a temptation to become angry at this shift and this bias and this two double standard treatment of people. I mean, we have the shooting here in Oregon where the guy's going around and he's shooting Christians, specifically targeting Christians. But he really didn't care, all religions. And he, of course, writes in his blogs that his place is assured in hell, and the people who are writing back and forth to him as he's getting ready to do this are telling him to go to a women's college so that he won't have any of those alpha males trying to stop him. And of course he didn't do that, and of course there was a man who I guess took 7 bullets trying to stop him. There were other people that were on campus who would have done more to stop him had they brought their guns on with them, because they had concealed carry permits, but they're not allowed to defend themselves. So it becomes, and of course now there's protests going on in Oregon saying, you know, gun-free zones are kill-free zones, where you can kill for free and you don't have to worry about it. I mean, these guys don't go down to the shooting range. They go to gun-free zones You know, that's just what draws them. And when the, you know, and so, I posted something on our Facebook the other day that I thought was kind of interesting. Somebody had sent to me, and an individual was up there talking. I can't remember what the report or something, and he was showing how, you know, that the U.S. most, you know, there's like there's almost a gun for everybody in the United States, supposedly, in private ownership. Really, only half the people or less actually own guns. That most people depend upon the police to protect them. And the reason they do is because the police own the guns. But it used to be in America that everybody was a part of the police. Everybody, every able-bodied man between the ages of 17 and 45 were a part of the militia. Still says that in the U.S. Code. So then they should own guns, and they talk about a right to bear arms. And if you go back a couple of hundred years before that was written, the reference to a right to bear arms was a responsibility to bear arms, because you were expected to defend the people of your community, and you were to arm yourself in a way that you know, according to your means, that would allow you to defend your community. That meant, you know, buying a musket, then you bought a musket, or a sword, you bought a sword, or it came with a pitchfork, or that's all you owned. But the point is, you were expected to defend your neighbors from unwarranted usurpations or robbery or murder or rape or whatever. There are cultures coming to America, coming to the West, that don't have that in their teachings, in their philosophy, in their culture. Their culture says that you get to rape somebody if they're not your religion. And that's okay. And we have another culture that may come here, China. China just about owns America now. And they haven't come to collect the debt, but say they decide to come and collect the debt. What is to stop them? God's not going to stop them. If you owe the debt, pay it. So they're going to come. And what's their plan? So we have that. We have an economy that is about to collapse. We are in debt beyond the ability to ever pay it off. Their only mercy is absolute total destruction of the entire systems of the world. And that is actually coming. But before that comes, there's going to be a lot of time where we can start to learn that which we have forgotten. The world has become a desolate place of spiritual knowledge. We don't know, you know, and when I talk about those guys and even elements of the Soviet Union, right now, Putin is one of the, is the voice of morality almost. It's a shame that Putin is the voice of morality amongst the politics of the world. He's one of the most honest and refreshing voices out there. It's just shocking. We don't have it coming from any other country like it comes from Putin. But Putin's not going to live forever. It's still Russia and the Soviet Union. There's still a spirit moving in that country of totalitarianism and destruction. There's a great movement of spiritual awakening in that country as well. And there is a spiritual awakening in America also. But it's not amongst most of the churches. Most of the churches are singing their congregations to sleep. They're not going the way of righteousness in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they have the appearance of good, but in reality, they're actually on the fast track towards evil. So, the point is that if I'm reading in Ezekiel, it's talking about increasing the fruit in the land of the heathen. We are the land of the heathen. We got lots of churches, but they're not churches established by Christ. They're not a part of the body of Christ. They aren't doing what Christ said, and that's how you can tell. They're actually doing the opposite of what Christ said. And so that's another hint, a pretty sizable hint. And of course, we had the same thing at the time of Christ when he came and found the Pharisees and the Sadducees and even the Zealots doing contrary to the will of God, doing contrary to Moses, yet proclaiming Moses. But they didn't know Moses, and therefore they didn't know Christ. And today, if Christ were to come back and preach his gospel, most people would not know Christ, even the Christians. They would not know him. And we show this all the time in the two shows that I did before this, which we will have in our archives eventually. If you get on to our Facebook, His Holy Church Facebook, or on the Living Network, or on the Kingdom Newsletter, you know, we'll let you know when those audios become available. And it explains this whole thing of church and state, and the fact that you used to be the state, and then you gave your power of that was given to you by God, which we call the state of nature, through social compacts, either by outright contract or by application or by your personal activities. You've given over your right to choose, your liberty, to somebody else who now has the right to choose for you. If they want to go to war, they can make you go to war. If they want to make you work in civilian work projects, they can force you to labor in civilian work projects under government direction, and you don't have the right to complain. And it states that in the United States codes. All you have to do is do one little simple thing and you're bound. And most of you have done that thing. So they can take you, they can take your sons and daughters, and they can put them to work in work camps, and it's absolutely legal. And if you want to rebel against it, go ahead, but you have to do it without God. God is not going to hear you. He's not going to be on your side. I don't care how much you sing in church. I don't care how much you give to Olstein or to Hagee or to any of these guys. They're all a part of the apostate church because they have been preaching half a gospel. In some cases, not even half a gospel. for decades. They are in apostasy. They are not believers. And we can show you this step by step. And we have. That they're doing contrary to what Christ said. They do not qualify as ministers of Christ. Their churches are not a part of the body of Christ. But am I condemning them? No, I'm notifying them. I'm warning them. They have need of repentance because I love them. I want them to prosper, to live and prosper in good health. And what they're doing now is propagating a nation of desolation. An abomination, as it says, then shall ye remember your own evil ways. You're going to find out what evil ways you've been going and your doings that were not good. What are they? Well, one is they all promote coveting your neighbor's goods. They all promote that as a good thing. They promote you to, you know, to sign up with men who call themselves benefactors, but they're not really benefactors. They just call themselves that. They actually provide benefits by taking away from your neighbor. That's coveting your neighbor's goods through social schemes of welfare. That's contrary to what Christ said, contrary to what Moses said, contrary to what Abraham was doing. Abraham could have stayed in Babylon. And that's the system that Babylon, Nimrod, a mighty provider instead of the Lord. How did he provide? He took away from your neighbors and provided you with benefits. The greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. So how do we get back? And this is why we're saving this in the third part to talk more about this. And we talked about it. We talked about the dried bones. But now we're saying, why are these bones dry? Why is there this desolation come upon us where the entire nation is in a debt that it can never pay? has no means to pay for anything, and leaders who have no interest in paying off the debt. They have an interest in creating more debt, binding you with this debt, making you merchandise, human resources, surety for that debt, so that whoever bows down and serves the evil that has brought this about can come in and take your life, take the lives of your children with impunity. They can kill you. They can sacrifice you. And it's legal because they own you. You're slaves in a land where you once were free. And this has all come about when these false preachers, these brutish pastors who have not been providing you with a daily ministration but told you to go to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, absolutely contrary to what Christ said. He said it was not to be that way with you as he appointed the kingdom to his church, but these false pastors are doing the absolute opposite, delivering you all into bondage. And then now is the time to remember this evil that you've done and repent of it. You shall loathe yourself. I mean, it's most of you will just deny it and say, no, I believe in Jesus. You know, yeah, I'm a socialist. Yeah, I send my kids to public school. Yeah, I take from my neighbor so that I can have these benefits. But I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. That's a lie. You don't love Jesus. You don't love what he stood for. You don't come together to church to serve. You go there to feel good. So now when you find out that it's all false, it's all a lie, you loathe yourself. In your own sight, you see, oh my gosh, I've been a worker of iniquity. I've been a part of this lie and this abomination. And that's what it goes on to say. In your own sight, for your iniquities and by your abominations, you've all been coveting your neighbor's goods. You've all been sinning, and you're not. Your sin is not forgiven. It could be forgiven if you actually repented, but you must forgive in order to be forgiven. That's what Christ says. Now, I know your preachers say, no, you just say you believe in Jesus and you're forgiven. Even though Jesus said, not just what you say, you can't just say, Lord, Lord, and be forgiven. You have to forgive to be forgiven. In order to forgive, you have to say to the benefactors who exercise authority, you owe me nothing. I don't want any of your benefits ever. I will take care of my own children. I'll take care of my own wife and my own family. And I will take care of my parents. And I will take care of my neighbor because I love my neighbor as myself. I will do all that without you. Now, you can't just say that. You have to do that. And you may have to do that while paying your tally of bricks. You had to in the past. Jesus said you had to be friends with the unrighteous mammon, pay what you owe Caesar, but stop applying for the benefits. Moses said the same thing. And actually, Abraham said the same thing, if you knew all the writings of Abraham. But we know Abraham didn't just leave Ur. He went back and forth many times. And finally, he came out with many souls, because many souls were able to remember their own evil, to see their own evil, to see their own doings and repent of that. Modern Christians haven't repented yet. Oh, they got baptized, but they didn't really repent. Because they're still doing it. In every church, I hardly know a church that isn't collecting. I mean, there's a few Amish that aren't. But then are the Amish out there sacrificing the red heifer? Which, again, has nothing to do with the color red or nothing to do with a cow or a bovine. They're exclusive. They hide away in their own little communities. But I know amongst those communities, and even amongst the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, you're going to find individuals who are awakening. And that's what it goes on to say. But first it says in verse 32, not for your sake do I, do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways. You should be ashamed of this. You've done this. You've taken a free country and you've turned it into a democratic socialist state where you all are in one purse and rulers take the life and blood from every family to provide for those who are wanting of benefits. Confounded by your own ways, O house of Israel, who should have known better. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. You're the land. You people out there, you're the land. He's going to till your hearts. Some of you are going to be convicted and you're going to say, oh my gosh, that's right. How can we be coveting our neighbor's goods through men who call themselves benefactors and still say we are following Christ? You cannot. Well, you can, but you're a liar. And you have to see that and remember that. And the desolate land shall be tilled. This is the pain you feel in your hearts when you start realizing your iniquity. That's God tilling your heart. Some of you don't feel anything. Well, that's because you haven't let God in enough to even be tilled. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Now, this is full of metaphors. Fenced. It's the armor of God he's talking about. If you will actually start loving your neighbor as yourself, start coming together to start taking care of one another in faith, hope, and charity, according to the perfect law of liberty, God will build a fence around you and protect you. And when the enemy comes, he will open up the ground and it will swallow them. That's a prophecy. That will happen. If you really are remembering your own evil and where you had recognizing where you have not done good and truly loathing that evil that is in you and repenting of it, seeing your abomination, your iniquities, and wanting to change, wanting to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the Holy Spirit can inhabit you, and it will build a fence around you to protect you, no matter what comes. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be provided. In verse 36, it says, then the heathen that are left round about you, that's all those people who do not want to be plowed, do not want their hearts changed, do not want to let the Spirit of God in, do not want to become servants of righteousness, those are the heathens. They'll end up knowing that you're Lord, because those who are seeking God will be built up. I, the Lord, build the ruined places. That's us. And plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will do it. And thus the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. To do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock. And the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am Lord. There's an awakening going on all over. And it will happen to people who are raised Muslim. And it will happen to people that are raised Buddhists, and it will happen to people that are raised Catholic and Lutheran, and people who were raised with no religion. They will begin to wake up, and they will hopefully begin to act upon what they begin to see, and they will be blessed accordingly, and God will put a fence around them and protect them. And they will, by the change in them, make manifest that there is a God. Something will become evident. Now, this will take place, and it already has begun to take place, and it will take place more over a period of time. But then that's when he gets into this verse 1 of Ezekiel 37, where he talks about this valley of dry bones. And that valley of dry bones is where we're all at now. And we're going to talk about what Ezekiel is telling us. And then we're going to finish up with how we can change that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom after this break. So we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. So we were getting up to Ezekiel 37, and I read this in the previous show on this topic of church and state. That's what the topic was all about, and the apostasy of the church. And you see, when you go into apostasy, immediately you stop becoming the church. That's how, you know, it's like, you know, the rebels who, and that's where the word comes from rebel. In the Greek. And when you rebel, you're no longer a part of what you were a part of before. When Satan rebelled, he's no longer a part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He's on his own. When I'm not sure who rebelled in the Civil War. Was it the North that rebelled? Or was it the South that rebelled? Well, the South departed from the North. That's clearly, but they parted because the North was already rebelling against the idea of states' rights, and that's really what it was all about. It wasn't about slavery. Slavery was a big issue, and it's you know, if you win, you get to make that the big issue, but the reality was it was about usurpation of rights within the states. I mean, Robert E. Lee freed his slaves long before general of the Northern Army, Grant. Grant didn't free his slaves until after the war was over. Before the war even started, Robert E. Lee had freed his slaves. It wasn't about slavery. It was about states' rights. And you see, you used to be a citizen of the state. The states were separate countries, as foreign to each other as Mexico is to Canada. Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law. But see, before there was states and the United States and any of that stuff, you were in the state of freedom. That's why people came to America, to be in the state of freedom. But through social compacts, you began to move away from that. And I have a whole shows I've done on like the Mayflower Compact. People said, well, that they hold that up as some kind of proof of government. In the new world, that we were setting up our own government. Mayflower Compact set up no government whatsoever. Mayflower Compact was a compelled loyalty oath by the strangers on board, which outnumbered the pilgrims, because they felt the pilgrims were up to no good, and of course they actually were up to no good. We're going to have to do a show that talks about the Founding Fathers. There's a couple of different people that are talking about the Founding Fathers. You got Barton on one side, and you got another group on another side saying that they were all deists, and And the fact is both of them have a little bit of the truth. But we need to bring balance to that and start seeing, instead of trying to prove some agenda, we have to see people as they really are. And the fact is that when we talked about the Pope in previous shows in this series, or we just talked about Olstein and Hagee, or we can talk about Billy Graham and Franklin Graham and all those people, pastors like Chuck Baldwin. And all of them are real people with real souls, and we care about all of them equally. But what we mostly care about is the truth. And so when we hold the truth of the gospel up, everybody doesn't quite fit. There's every one of us has some area of our lives that we have strayed from righteousness. And of course, there's the obvious socialism. That's clearly a covetous system. It's the whole thing is based on coveting your neighbor's goods and forcing their contributions, while the whole nation of Israel operated entirely by free will offerings for centuries. They were free people, but then they got away from that by rejecting God and deciding they wanted to have a ruler who could exercise authority. And then he did a foolish thing. He forced an offering. And because that, his kingdom would not stand. Saul's kingdom, Saul was told, because you did this foolish thing, forced an offering of the people in order to support his military, because he was worried about, you know, them being attacked, but he was forcing an offering. As soon as he did that, he was doomed. His kingdom was doomed. Well, every country in the world does that today, and so they're all doomed. They're all doomed. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. Except if suddenly we'd have enough people to repent, you could stop it. But you can stop it on a small scale with that fence that we just talked about being built around you. You can't build it. It's built for you. And it's only built for you if you actually turn around and start doing what Christ said, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. So you have to create a system that operates by free will offerings, or what we call love, which is also translated charity, to take care of all the needs, social welfare needs of your society. Now, most people aren't going to go that way. Those of you who are willing to see your error, remember your error, remember that which you have done that is not good, which is coveting, and want to really change, you can start coming together and doing that, but you have to really do it. It's gonna really take some serious soul searching. So in verse 1 of Ezekiel 37, he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" You know, when I look at around us, I see there is no hope when I look at it with my earthly eyes. You know, logically, there is no salvation for America, for the world today. We are all doomed. We are going to go into one of the worst Holocausts in the history of mankind. I mean, millions, billions of people will die before it's all over with. And evil wants you dead. You know, like these shooters who go around who say, my place is already assured in hell and everything, and they're taking drugs and they're communicating with demonic forces. And what do they tell them to do? Go kill your family, go kill your neighbor, go kill as many people as you can and destroy them. And then when you're caught, they turn the gun on themselves and kill themselves. That's a pattern. You're seeing it. Actually, it's like you've got a pot here boiling this cauldron we call a city, this civil structure that is a one world order, is like a cauldron, and it's boiling. And when that lid pops a little bit, some of the hot boiling water splashes out, a little drop of it comes out. If your hand is there and it lands on your head, you'll feel that burning. Wow, that's hot. That's what these killing rampages are. It's just a drop in the cauldron that overflowed for a second. But there's going to be more. When that pot really boils over, you're going to see killing like you've never believed was possible. And there won't be any going back. Now, is there a fence around you? Oh, there's no fence just because you say you believe in Jesus. You have to have the fruits of repentance. And you don't have them. You're still eating at the trough of benefactors who exercise authority. You haven't set up a daily ministration to take care of the needy of your own society. You're not a part of the body of Christ. All these churches have, we explained how that works. They're not a part of the body of Christ. These ministers don't qualify according to the criteria laid down by Christ right there in the book. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of fancy interpretation. It's right there. But even if you didn't have the book, it should be written on your heart that we're doing the wrong thing. But many of you will not want to see that. Those of you who do need to come together and start implementing the knowledge of God's love on a day-to-day basis, caring about one another. Not just those who love you, your little groupie group that makes you feel good, but even people you don't even know, you have to care about them too. People who you don't even think love you. I mean, I don't think the Pope loves me, but I care about him. I want to see him repent. I want to see all these preachers repent and start doing what Christ said. I don't see any of these churches doing what the first century church was doing. So we got these dry bones in this valley, and he said unto me, Son of Man. Well, Jesus was the Son of Man. We're all children of God. We're all sons of man. But we're only really sons of man if we want to return to the Father and walk with the Father. Can these bones live, he says. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. See, I don't know that they can live, but God knows if they can live. Which bones can live, which ones will not. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones. Now he's saying unto the bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. So is God trying to breathe the truth into your heart so that you begin to act upon that truth? Will you forsake the gathering together, or will you gather together with others who God is breathing upon so that these bones come together that they shall live? And I will lay sinew upon you. That's what he says. If you receive that breath, he will lay sinew upon you and will bring up flesh upon you. He's going to bring those bones together and connect them. Are you ready to do that? And cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, are you ready to do that? Are you ready to join together with others and really work at this? Not just, you know, talk about faith, not just talk about religion, talk about loving Jesus, but actually turn it into action. Yeah, God isn't going to raise up those bones to sit around in a pew, warm in some pew. He's calling you to wake up and become the ministers of God and gather that flesh and sinew. That's the people. Because a minister who actually qualifies for Christ, he doesn't have anything to go by except what you choose to give him. We got millions of people giving to ministers who are singing them to sleep and lulling them down the path to destruction. And they got millions for that. But who wants to become the social welfare of righteousness? So he says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So you got to come together. And the sinew and the flesh, the people, have to come together too and begin to function, stand up, and seek to be righteous. I mean, you've been seeking the evil ways for decades, centuries even, from generations. So you got to stand up and start doing before the breath will come unto you. So he was prophesying this command, bone to bone. And when I beheld the sinew and the flesh, covered them, but no breath in them, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Slain? Is that why they're dry bones? We've been slain? We've been slain in the spirit. We've been slain by lies of unrighteousness. We have followed the ways of unrighteousness to destroy and curse our children with debt and to bring ourselves back into bondage. We have been dogs returning to our vomit and pigs to the mire, and gone back to the bondage of Egypt and abandoned the ways of freedom. As I heard somebody the other day was trying to blame me for the fact that the world has become prejudiced. The governments of the world have become prejudiced and abused their power. Because I stand up and I speak the truth. The reason the tyrants have risen up is because we've become a land of cowards. A land of avarice and wantonness and selfish. We do not run to the aid of our neighbors. Of all the people on the campus, how many people were willing to rush that man? But there was somebody there willing to do it, and I guess he's doing pretty good, even though he got 7 bullet holes in him. You think he was protected? There are many of you out there who are brave souls, who will repent, who are courageous enough to see that we've been going the wrong way for too long. Don't get angry about the fact. The problem is not, you know, the Illuminati or the Zionists or anybody who's harping on that, or the Pope or the Democrats, or I don't know who you want to blame it on. There's always somebody you blame. The fact is, we aren't willing to see the truth about our own iniquity. We are not willing to come together and sacrifice out of love for one another, even loving our enemies. We're not really doing that. You know, I was talking about Muslims, not all Muslims, but this cultural rape culture that's coming under the name of Muslims, or the armies that may invade from Rosh, the Prince of Rosh. There's whole prophecies on that. And Tubal and all that stuff. You can look it up. I'm not going to tell you what it all means. It doesn't matter. What it matters is that you repent and come together and start caring about one another, helping one another, serving one another. You go to church to serve. You don't go to church to be served. If you go to church to be served, you're not coming in the name of Christ. I don't know how many times I can tell you that until it finally starts to sink in. Are you willing to see that? Are you willing to let God plow your heart and change? So he beheld the sinew, and the flesh came upon them. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, now this is an army with the armor of God. This is an army like you've never seen an army before. They have weapons you cannot even imagine. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They're not Jews, they're the house of Israel. Israel is a place where God prevails. When God prevails in your heart and you're actually doing what God said to do, what Christ said to do from the beginning, then those bones that are dried will live again. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. That means that's the place where God prevails. It's not a geographical place. It's everywhere. Everywhere that men of faith walk. O ye shall know that I am the Lord, thus I have opened your graves. But you gotta, if you're accepting God as the God, then you will be doing what God has said to do all along. If you're not doing what God has said to do all along, when you say you believe God is God, it's taking his name in vain. Because you're not bearing the fruit of his spirit. O my people, and brought you up out of your graves to live again. That's where we got to go. That's what we got to be doing. You cannot do it on your own. But first you have to what? Remember your iniquities. See what you're doing wrong. Resolve that you want to do right. Start seeking that righteousness of God. Start setting up a social welfare system that takes care of the true needy of your society by faith, hope, and charity. You must do that or seek to do that. If you're not willing to seek, if you're going to make excuses about not doing that, then you don't really believe in Christ because you want no daily ministration. You don't want to be attending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy. That's what the daily ministration is for. And faith, because most people who are in trouble, they're in trouble because they've done something wrong. But we're supposed to be showing mercy for them, or we will not or should not expect mercy for us. For we have all been doing stuff wrong. You must forgive others in order to be forgiven. Yeah, they screwed up. Now help them. Help your ministers help others. Help them teach the whole gospel. You've got this damnable heresy floating around that you don't have to do anything. Well, you don't have to do anything to be saved, except repent. But once you repent, you're going to be doing. I don't have to say, well, now you have to do. You know, you can't. I can't stop you from doing it. Right now, most of you are stopped from doing it all the time. You don't even realize that if you're not doing what Christ said to do, what the early church was doing, then you haven't accepted Christ. As soon as you accept Christ, you're going to want to be doing that. Stop blaming other people. you're the worker of iniquity, because you can be a worker of iniquity simply by not doing what you should be doing, which is loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, sometimes your neighbor just needs rebuking, sometimes not. So anyway, we started this whole series talking about the article of Chuck Baldwin, using that as kind of a springboard. And we talked about the fact that you used to be the state, and then you started signing social compacts, and then there rose up this corporate state, this body corporate, that doesn't seem to die. And now today, you've been devoured by that corporate body, which is the golem of modern times. And you have become a human resource, and your children are in bondage because of the debt that you've created. And God's not going to hear you because you've already rejected him. Oh, you go to church and the church pastor tells you you haven't, and that you love Jesus and Jesus loves you. But Jesus is going to, a lot of people think that, but Jesus said he's going to tell a lot of people, get ye from me, you workers of iniquity. And now you know what one of those iniquities are, is the fact that you've been coveting your neighbor's goods in order to get freebies from men who call themselves benefactors. What also happens is that benefactor gets so powerful he goes around killing other people, and that blood is on your hands because you're a servant of that system. But the worst thing is you're not following the Holy Spirit. You're still sitting out there eating of the tree of knowledge, trying to decide what is good and evil, and electing men to make that choice for you. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness is a job assignment. It's what you have to do. And I shouldn't have to tell you that. You should want to do it. The temple of God is built by living stones. The altars of earth, that's every family. We need to repent of our evil ways. In order to do that, we need to see them, admit them, ponder upon them, and seek to go the other way. And then we will be prepared by God in our hearts and our minds to face what is coming. If we do not, then we will be swept away. We will be ground under into the soil of this earth. I pray you awaken. I pray that you come out of your false religion and start practicing pure religion, which is a daily ministration that takes care of the needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity. That's pure religion. Unspotted by the systems of the world. You don't need any of their benefits. Now, that may take a while to get to, but you don't have a lot of time. You need to repent now. And until then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Bye.